Nights on RNZ National. Now, normally in a few minutes we'd be broadcasting, in fact we will be broadcasting, another edition of Dateline Pacific, news from our RNZ Pacific team. And if you're a fan of that show, you'll know that one of the regular hosts is Jamie Tahana. And if you're a really big fan, you might have noticed that Jamie hasn't been hosting the show recently. That's because Jamie is in the middle of an internal OE. See, he was due for one, but he can't go overseas, so he's decided to walk the length of Aotearoa. That's right, he's doing the Te Araroa Trail. And we spoke to Jamie when he'd already done Te Ika a Maui, he's done the fish. We spoke to him when he was at the stern, or bow, I guess it depends on which way you look at planet Earth, of Te Waka a Maui, the canoe. And then Jamie went offline. Well, he would, wouldn't he? Because he went to the WAPS, he went to the wilderness, the South Island. But we got an email from Jamie yesterday. He's back online, and now we've got him on the phone. Kia ora, Jamie. Welcome back to Nights.
Kia ora, Brian. Miss anything?
Yeah. We missed you, Jamie.
What did you miss?
What did you miss? Was there any big stuff? Were you aware that Auckland had gone into lockdown? Did you go bush before that happened?
That was insane, yeah. So I was in Nelson Lakes going through that area down the spine, you know, the tip top of the Southern Alps, and then re-emerge, what was it, last Monday? And then just kind of guy at the end's just like, oh, did you hear about the lockdown? And I did that section with a friend, and we're like, sort of like, oh, haha, you're joking there. And he's like, no, it's lockdown. And we went to reception and found that out. That was kind of weird as a journalist to be a few days behind everyone else on that announcement.
Well, luckily you were in the South Island on level two. Imagine if you'd come out and you found yourself in a level three situation.
I have been wondering that for a few weeks. I've got a mask in my pack, so, you know, pack wisely. But, it's kind of for a setup. My mum was like, factor that in. And then sort of, so, yeah, it has been, you know, I guess 2021, the world we live in now. But it has been a thought that might happen. And, well, it turns out it did. Fortunately, not for where I was, but yeah, it was kind of bizarre to emerge to something like that. But and then we started playing scenarios like, what if it was level four and we saw no traffic on the roads, or everything was closed when we, you know, emerged for the first non-dehydrated meal in a week. And
yes, you could get yourself worked into quite a paranoid state out there with no news, couldn't you?
It's also quite cathartic having no news for a week, but you absolutely could. It's like, you know, when I was a teen, we were real into those Tomorrow When the War Began books about kids who go into like the wild, and then Australia gets invaded, and we're like, oh, this is as close to that as we're going to get. So, yeah, that was quite the experience.
Where are you right now, Jamie?
Right now, I am in Tauranga. I had to duck off for a few days for a wedding, not officially on the trail. But
yeah, Tauranga, you've got seriously lost if
my compass is a bit off, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay,
was weird.
Did you say nipping out for a wedding?
Yes, so I'll fly back to Christchurch later this week, then go up to Lewis Pass, weather dependent, and carry on. But long-term forecast for the Canterbury High Country isn't too flash, so I might have to chop and change around, maybe do a different section and then come back or whatever, or sit for a few days in Christchurch waiting for a clearance. We'll see closer to the time, but I fly to Christchurch on Thursday.
Okay, Jamie, well, let's go through where you've been so far. We first spoke to you in Picton. You're about to get, a water taxi up to the tip of the Sounds, and you were starting the Queen Charlotte Walk. Am I remembering right?
That is correct. Yep, got on that water taxi up to Ship Cove, 3 days on the Queen Charlotte track, then across the link path to Havelock, round to Pelorus Bridge, across the farm, then up the Pelorus River into the Richmond Ranges, up and down.
Now, rather than, because that's already quite a lot of ground you've just talked about in a few sentences, so I want to break it down. The Queen Charlotte, do you know, have you been to the Marlborough Sounds before, Jamie?
Only by boat, haven't walked it, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, what was it like looking at the sea rather than what we normally do, for most of us, look at the land from the sea?
Personally, for me, it was torture, because this was that heat wave about 2-3 weeks ago. It was you know, in the early 30s, and I'm 400 metres above the sea looking at what's a very tempting swim.
Oh, no. Yeah, we weren't getting such a heat wave here in Wellington, Jamie, but obviously what a difference a few kilometres can make and a bit of a rain shadow.
Yep. Yeah, you could see the blob of cloud over Wellington from there.
You could?
Yeah, well, you know, I got pointed out that's where Wellington should be, and you just saw grey. But
Jamie, you were thinking, gee, I'd love to be underneath that.
Oh, yeah, I love a winter coat in February. So that, the Queen Charlotte was really great, really easy warm-up for what was to come, because it's a shared bike track and stuff. It was really busy, you know, and then easy grade, along to Havelock. I mean, yeah, so that was stunning. I mean,
in terms of
South Island, I haven't had to put on the raincoat yet.
Like, you have not really?
No.
Okay.
There was one morning of drizzle, I believe, and then that Grotiti, but that was it. It cleared pretty quickly.
Okay. Now, you said the Queen Charlotte track was busy with not just with walkers, but also with bike riders. How do you manage to negotiate and share it?
When I did it, it was largely closed to bikers. I only saw them in certain sections. It's a bike track in quieter season. I was talking more about the grade of the track. It was like quite wide and flat, easy going, not rock scrambling or anything. But you know, there were a couple of bikers about quietly on national radio, and so that wasn't too bad to negotiate. Also, you know, good campsites and stuff. Not the six but 10-shed huts you got in the Richmonds, and yeah, it was a good warm up across to Havelock.
Was there a lot of weka action in the Sounds?
Oh yeah, they're quite the thieves, eh? I was one day just sitting munching on an apple, and then it just pops up from around the rock I was perched on and took a bite of my apple. And just spoken to someone who's had several Ziploc bags of sugar and stuff dragged off from them. I mean,
really?
Got to admire their cunning.
I find it strange because the weka is such a precocious bird, and seems to be able to look after itself, that while they are very common, especially in the top half of the top of the South Island, Marlborough Sounds and I think Abel Tasman as well, you don't see them at all just across Cook Strait. I've hardly ever seen a weka in the North Island, I think.
Same, actually, now you pointed out. Kapiti Island, I think it had, but what is it, a 30k gap, and the sort of nature and the wildlife. And
yeah,
the weather.
I mean, I know they're flightless, so that's yeah. A bit of sea is going to make a difference, but still, it's surprising.
Yeah.
And I have no idea why. Not that I'm expecting you to say why, Jamie.
Yeah, so I left behind my Birds of New Zealand guide out of weight concerns. I've kind of been missing that a few times. I'm starting to get into tier country, so I'm having to start thinking about tying my boots to the ceiling and stuff as I get further down. So we're starting to see the signs, you know, telling you not to feed them and everything. So I guess at this pace you do see the gradual change of everything. You know, the bush for even down to the geology and stuff. You can just see the colours change, the hues, and it's. I guess when you say, if I was driving from Picton to Canterbury, you do notice a change, but it seems more sudden. But walking, it's just this gradual fade, which is I've sort of only woken to recently. I mean, it's quite dark walking down, but it's a beautiful aspect of just, I guess, how long and how many different countries, climates, geologies, and everything this, you know, we pass through. It's been an appreciation of mine recently.
When you say changes in colour, do you mean changes in the colour of the rock?
Yeah, so at the end of Richmond Range, there was a, you know, mineral belt near Nelson, all the red, or you're starting to see, you know, from, you know, the greys, or even the bush and stuff, you know, Marlborough and the top of the Richmond's around Pelorus, the rivers with that emerald green or a deep blue, and you've got the deep green bush and stuff. And now
now we're fading into tussock country or up in Nelson Lakes where it was, you know, dominated by podocarp and all that, just the different shapes and colours and hues of the land around Nelson. Well, a friend described it as kind of, colour wasn't as stark. There was a sort of like a fade on it and stuff. And it's maybe Bayreuth is just, you know, so much time pondering by myself that I'm kind of bad off here. But yeah,
that's the joy of doing what you're doing. Jamie, thanks very much for joining us this evening.
Perfect. Thank you.